This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hello, and welcome to the Human-Animal Connection Show. So glad you're with us. And I have a wonderful guest with me today. I have Mindy Dutkat, and she's done so much good stuff for dogs through her art and photography. And over 20 years with corporate experience, marketing, leadership, event planning, fundraising, and sales. So she helps businesses and animal rescue organizations tell their stories through compelling photography. And she's the founder of Dogs I Meet, and her goal is to bridge dog advocacy and brand marketing through story-driven dog photography. So aloha, Mindy. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So tell me, how do you use storytelling and photography to bridge this gap of animal advocacy? I know you do some wonderful work with a rescue organization in Mexico. So tell us about your work.
So lots of different aspects, but I've kind of married all of my loves together and my passions. And as we all know, the global pet market, it's just, you know, exploding. I think it's $260 something billion globally right now. So There's a lot of money that goes into marketing, and a lot of money and a lot of interest, you know, new products and new foods, all kinds of things are coming out all the time, new technology, changes in veterinary practices. And I feel like all that money and all that advertising and all that marketing, that, you know, dogs, who are the animals that are the star of the show.
And yeah. That's why,
you know, they're driving the gravy train. So,
right.
And there's not often a direct flow of any of that, you know, money to helping with rescues, shelters, and dogs in need. And it's a perfect match for collaborations and so forth. So one simple example is that, you know, I photograph for brands, pet brands, and all brands, actually. When you add in dogs, it adds a great component. But I have a program where, instead of using dog models, the dog models are actually rescue dogs from shelters. That I'm using as the models. So there's a collaboration between the rescue, the brand that I'm working for, and then I'm doing photographs that are, you know, telling the story of the brand in whatever compelling reason is behind the campaign that I'm doing. I, you know, work out all of the details and figure out my shot list and so forth. But there's so many benefits to using a dog from a shelter. And part of the package is that the brand that's paying part of my fee is a portion of it goes directly to the shelter, for use of the dog.
Yes.
And because I need some cooperation, the shelter has to, you know, be on board also to sort of do their part, whether it's having a volunteer bring the dog to where I need to do the shoot. And then there's an understanding between all parties that the photos that I take through social media or content will be shared throughout everybody's social channels. So it's great for the brands. They're going to get more exposure. It's a rich story that they're telling. It's the story of their brand, but it's a story of that they really care. You know, it gives them, you know, authenticity, and that they're really, you know, walking their talk. So it's a win-win for everybody. Yeah. You know, that's one type of program that I can put together. I actually did I worked with Virgin Hotels in New York and a wonderful pet treat company called Shameless Pets that does all kinds of great things. And we decided, I asked them, let me get two rescue dogs that that have been in the system for over a year trying to be adopted. And yeah. let's make them the stars of this photo shoot. And for that, I worked with two different rescues. Each of the dogs came from a different rescue. And I photographed them in different locations. It was a Virgin is a pet-friendly hotel. And they have a collaboration with Shameless Pets. So when you check in with a dog, you also get Shameless Pets treats. So this was a collaboration between all of these different companies and the shelters. And the two dogs were, one of them, actually the Virgin Hotels has a gorgeous red, beautiful staircase. So I did a shoot with one of them. Both of the dogs were male. Mm-hmm. I did one with one of the dogs and I called it the Cinderfella shoot. He had a little tutu on and there was a shoe on the step and the treats and it was him running down, you know, looking for his prince home or whatever you want to call it. It's his fellow home. You know, so anyway, there are a lot of wonderful pictures. Everybody pushed out on their social channels, you know, this campaign. So there was a lot of exposure and ultimately both of the dogs got adopted. You know, which was wonderful. And I will say, you know, as you so well know, it takes a village, you know, so it was a piece of what helped them. You know, they got exposure. The rescues were doing it, what they do. It was a lot of different things going on. But the dog that I just mentioned on the stairs wound up getting exposure on Susie Seniors, which is an organization that focuses on senior dogs, helping them get exposure. Yeah. And that's I found that first dog and he still didn't get adopted. So Susie Seniors did another go round, another promotion. And they talked about the story of how a photographer saw the first post and invited the dog to, you know, be part of the shoot. And they used the photos that I took and that one, his future adopter or future home said there was something about the photo that she just connected with and, you know, he was adopted. So they've both been adopted and it's a wonderful story and a win for everybody, you know, and it just, to me, makes so much sense.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, are you doing still photos only or also video or what do you do?
I focus on still phone photos only. But for something like that shoot, I do have somebody that works with me and does some video. So because now the content is the real, so it depends on the package.
Yeah.
You know, to get the behind the scenes.
Right. That's excellent. Well, I definitely have seen that with sometimes at the shelters, the photos are not that great. They're getting better, but they're not that great. And when I go and take some really loving photos that show the eyes and show the connection and all that, it's kind of irresistible. So tell us what you think. What makes an irresistible dog photo?
I feel like it's a connection of seeing the dog and the photographer. And the dog, there is a connection. And I meet the dog where it's at. You know, one thing that dog photographers do, and it's a tip to people, is get down on the dog's level.
Yes.
When you are eye level with the dog, it's a photo that shows the dog's world. Mm-hmm. Versus what we call it in owner's view, down at the dog in a photograph.
Right.
So, you know, that there's a connection. The eyes, as you mentioned, are definitely the focus. And the dog needs to be comfortable. You know, the dog is giving you these non-verbal, you know, if you look at a dog that's scared and doesn't know what's happening and their tail's down and their ears are down, I don't photograph that. You know, you got to wait and you have to be super patient. you know, to be, you can't expect a dog to just rush in, you know, like a student, you know, when they do the school photos and they push them in and smile and move on. It doesn't work like that. You know, you got to give the dog a little bit of time to especially if you're photographing shelter dogs, they're terrible. Right.
Yes.
You really have to spend some time giving them some treats and making sure that they're a little bit, that they're relaxed and you want to catch them at a moment where, you know, they're feeling good and you can see that versus that scared feeling.
Right. Scared. Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it. And whether I'm photographing for brands, whether I'm photographing for, you know, families that have dogs or I'm photographing for shelter dogs, it's really read the dog's you know, cues and go with that.
Yes.
And they need a break. They need a rest. They, you know, need some water. Actually, modeling is very hard work for them. There's a lot of,
It's a lot of undog behaviors that they have to do.
Right. You know, and especially if I come at them with my big camera, you know,
right.
Well, they don't see my face. They just see scary
this thing,
camera, you know? Sure. So I spend time deconditioning them and I'll sit with them and I just put the camera to the side and click and give them a treat and click and give them a treat. So then, you know, they connect. Oh, the camera's not such a bad thing.
right. It's a treat device.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So really the biggest thing is patience and really, you know, understanding dogs and following their cues.
Yeah. Now, when you go to the shelter, are you often the one picking the dogs or they pick the dogs or it's a joint decision?
It's usually a joint decision. Like I'll let them know, like if for example, one time I was doing a photo shoot for a dog toy brand and I knew I needed a dog that liked toys and it's going to respond if I threw a toy, you know, so I would, you know, who do you have? that you know is going to be excited to play with toys kind of thing. So they know their dogs better than I do. So it's definitely you know a bit of a joint decision.
Right.
So
yeah.
Get selected.
Yeah, well I imagine you've gotten pretty good at kind of reading the dogs and seeing what stress level they're at or creating that bond and connection, you know, making them feel that you're a safe person quickly. I imagine you've gotten some good habits going. And those of you watching on video, that was Bailey walking through the frame. Yeah. Well that's really great. They know if a person is good or a person is safe.
They really do. And they just seem to understand, you know, and I think, honestly, I think that my love of dogs is key.
Yeah, they feel it.
Getting the photos that I get. And you'll see, you know, each dog doesn't look the same. So like each dog has its own little personalities and capturing that in film or digital, whatever you want to call it these days. You know, it is important. And that's really, you know, you want to get the spirit and the essence of the dogs. And they're so expressive in different
ways.
They
really are. I mean, it's, you know, every dog is unique. Every dog has a different story, but every dog has a different personality. And, you know, can you tell us a story of maybe a dog that was a little shy at first and how you won them over? Really?
It's very helpful when they are food motivated.
Yes, it really helps a lot.
They're not all food motivated. And sometimes the best shots, you know, it's I'll plan for what I think that I want. But they have to be open because it's the old story of a dog, you know, how like they live in the moment. And like when I least expect it, the dog is doing something that I didn't expect that makes the best shot. Like you know, I've captured something, you know, that I didn't anticipate, but I was open to, you know, so that's an important factor.
Yeah.
It's interesting because even I've done photographing. I do a lot of rescue work and I do some work in Mexico. I've worked in Cartagena. I've been to Puerto Rico after Hurricane, I think that was Hurricane Maria, because again, photos tell stories and people don't know what's happening. So it's a great way to create awareness and raise funds. But it's interesting because a lot of these dogs, they just, I almost don't even have to win them over. I don't know. They're like, I'm so surprised at how loving they are and how open they are to just they get a sense. The dogs know that like I'm their friend.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
You know.
Well, I guess especially the street dogs, you know, the ones that learned the humans can be helpful. What do I need to do to be get a good connection going on? So tell us about the work in Mexico. That's really fascinating.
So I've been working, my most recent project is I've been working with a group of rescues in Playa del Carmen, and they have been doing, their goal is a 5-year goal. They're on the end of year 2 now to do monthly spay neuter clinics for the community. So it's free to the community, but they're not free. So I've been helping them, you know, fundraise. They do 400, goal is 400 dogs per clinic, and they do a 3-day clinic every month. Mm-hmm. So they started this the beginning of 2022. And I think they are at about 8,000 dogs and cats wow. that they spayed and neutered. So if you follow it through and they're able to get enough funds and do this till the end of the 5 years, you know, that will make a significant difference in the landscape of the amount of, you know, dogs, homeless dogs, and even dogs, you know, because the culture is different. So dogs that belong to families, they tend to live outside because they live in very small houses and have the family and, you know, they care for the dog and they love their dogs, but they are roaming the streets. So it's a mix of, you know, stray dogs and dogs that have a home that are creating all of this huge population.
Right.
But once it, you know, they can get that under management, then they can focus more on, you know, a core amount of dogs and cats and helping give them proper care. But these clinics that they're doing are mostly people who have their dogs and cats, and they're taking them to these clinics. And they're so grateful. And that's the story. I was down there in May, and that was the story that I wanted to tell is that, you know, is that there are people that love their animals and they're doing the best that they can. And they guess, you know, they can't afford to have them spay neutered, but they want to do that. So they wait online for hours.
Wow.
An 8-hour process to bring your pet to one of these things. You have to wait online, you know, to be one of the 400 that they can take. You get registered, then you wait until you're called for the spay neuter. And then they are actually the people, the owners are the people that sit with the dogs and the cats while they are coming out of their anesthesia.
Good.
It's a very, and the love, and it's such a valuable thing. I can't even put it into words. You know, there's so many lessons. It's educational, which is the key. You know, there's young children that are there. Everybody is well behaved. Everybody is grateful that they have the opportunity to take care of their pets through this community, you know, community helping community.
Right.
And the photos that I have, I'll send you some so you can disperse it, but you can see these are animals that are cared for, that are loved. They just need someone to give them a break and,
you know,
and take care of, you know, so they can get a rabies vaccination and they get spay neutered at these clinics. And you just see the connection.
It's beautiful. You know,
through the photos. So that in those photos, I'm more of just an invisible observer.
A documentary.
Documenting, you know, what was in front of me. And you just look at the photos and you just.
Yeah, I've seen some of them. They're beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so it's really amazing. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing. And, you know, if we can help them continue to do this, then we should.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, that's a wonderful story. We're going to take a really short break. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Hey, friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human Animal Connection, where we're speaking with Mindy Dutka and about her wonderful work photographing dogs everywhere, shelter dogs, people's dogs that live with them at home, and helping down in Mexico with dogs that getting spayed and neutered. So we're just, it's so wonderful the work that you're doing. And I hope people will get a chance to take a look at your pictures. Well, let's just give them your website now while we're thinking about it. What's your website?
Great. So it's dogsimeet.com. And my Instagram is @dogsimeet. And Facebook is, I think if you type in dogs I meet, you'll get it, but I think it might be dogs. I mean, pet photography.
Well, we know that, you know, a good photograph can really open people's hearts and touch them. And, you know, in a shelter context can change the course of a dog's life. You know, that photo can make the difference between person really sensing that dog spirit and saying, I got to have that dog. Got to go get that dog today. Let's talk about some tips for people either who are volunteers in shelters or working with their own dogs about how to get the best photo. If you're not a professional like yourself, what can we do?
Sure. Well, first of all, I think it's also really understanding the need of how important a photograph is, because I know that shelters run on overwhelm and it's kind of one crisis after another, and it's volunteers and they don't often have time to make photography an important component, but I urge them. It's very, very important, the photography piece of having that good photo, because often, you know, it's an afterthought. The dogs come in, they do their intake, the dogs are dirty, the dogs are terrified. They put them in often a cinder block, poorly lit cell, and that's the photo that they show. And what that says to people, and it's such the wrong message, is that, you know, shelter dogs are broken. Shelter dogs aren't broken. Shelter dogs are just dogs that have been failed by humans.
And
they wound up there. You know, they just haven't been an opportunity, given the opportunity to become the dog that they are. So if you kind of want to look at it in terms of, let's talk about like real estate, when like you're selling a house or you're staging house, you know, you want people to be, not everybody has the ability to visualize. So they need things shown to them. So you want people to be able to come into a house and like visualize themselves living there. Same thing. You want people to be able to look at that dog or that cat and visualize that dog as your family dog, that dog playing with your children, that dog sitting on your couch. So the more you can give the dog a little bit of a chance to decompress, you know, like understand this is part of how you're helping that dog to ultimately get adopted. So it depends on the type of shelter you have and where it is. You know, I've worked at shelters in New York City. So those dogs are taken, you know, you got to find a place and make a little studio with lighting. But I've also worked with many shelters, you know, up in New England that happen to be on a beautiful grounds with woods and places that are very pretty. If you can, you know, get the volunteer, get the person who's photographing and take the dogs to a lovely spot, that will make a big difference. You know, so you want to think about where you're taking the dogs, and you really want to try to give it a little bit of time, not like, oh my God, I have, you know, 5 minutes for this dog, bring the next dog in. Change your mindset. And, you know, whether you're using an iPhone or whether somebody is using, a digital expensive camera, either way, iPhones are great. So a few different examples are, number one, your lighting. So particularly whether it's inside or outside, whether it's inside, you want to set up some kind of, either use natural lighting is, for me, is always the best, but you may have no windows, you may have no natural light. So you know, want to set up some kind of lighting that you know is going to be on the dog. You want to get down on the dog's level. If possible, depending on the different size of the dog, if it's a small dog, you want to have something that's comfortable for the dog to be on. And you're generally always going to have somebody, you know, that dog's going to be on a leash. And so you want someone to be like standing on to the side of the dog, holding the leash in a way. It's not that difficult now. You can go on Canva, you can do all kinds of things and remove the leash and remove the person. Or if that's not possible, then make it a sweet, loving shot with whoever is handling the dog. So it's more of a human animal, you know, interaction. So either way, you know, and you want to do a few different photos of the dog so that people can get a sense of their size. You want them sitting, you want them standing, you want them a little closer. So you want to be a few different pictures to show you know, so people can really get a sense of what the dog is, and maybe to scale if it needs to be. So, because sometimes you take a picture of a big dog, you don't realize it, or a small dog. So if you can do something like that, when you're outside and you're photographing the dogs, again, you don't want to, if at all possible, earlier or later, so you're not in the harsh sun. Maybe that's not possible and it is the middle of the day. In that case, look for a shaded spot that still has some nice light around it, but there's not harsh sunlight hitting the dog.
Right.
I use my top secret is one of those squeakers that come inside the dog. You can actually buy them by the bag on Amazon.
Yeah.
Use them. Don't overuse them. Wait till you're ready and you're prepared and you're ready to hit that, you know, shutter, whether it's a phone or a camera, one squeak.
Right. Just one.
If you do too much, the dog won't understand. And it's also possible. You got to know the dog because you're working with scared dogs. So that maybe a dog that sounds scares them. So, you know, get a sense of that, but you want to do just one squeak, not squeak, 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 squeak. Because it'll desensitize. They won't
pay
attention to
that. Doesn't have any meaning. Right.
Your focus is on their eyes.
Right.
So, and on an iPhone, like a few tips. One, it's really easy. Why not? I got my phone here. Clean your lens. People never think to clean the lenses, but if you think about it, this is in your pocket. This is in your purse. This is wherever. It's still functioning as a camera with a lens.
Right.
So clean your lens.
How do you clean a phone lens?
Kind of the same way you clean your eyeglasses.
Okay.
Soft microfiber.
Yeah.
And clean the lens. Mm-hmm. And if you have your camera ready to go and you focus on something and you put your feet, you probably can't see it, but if you touch it lightly, because you don't want to move, you'll see a little box and that the focus is on there. So people rarely think to actually hit the focus button on your phone.
Yeah.
Be careful that you're not moving the phone, but you just lightly tap. And so you got the eye in focus. Then you're going to push the shutter.
Yes. Okay.
You know, so that's a few tips. And again, on the dog's level.
Excellent. Excellent.
Good ones. And if there's something, you know, a toy or
toys,
or something. The other thing is if you have an extra person, behind you. People always stand off to the side and call the dog's name. That's good distractor.
Yeah. Right.
You want that person to be right behind your head so that dog is looking at you as you're taking a picture. And then, you know, maybe they're holding up a tree or maybe they're the ones that squeak if you have an extra person. It depends on how many people you have. But you don't want someone standing to the side calling the dog's name or doing something like that because that's distracting.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. So on, let's say when you're in a professional context, what do you have an assistant? Do you go by yourself? What do you take? What's your gear?
Well, usually I occasionally have an assistant, but more often than not, I don't have an assistant. So the owner, if it's a private shoot, so I use the owner of the dogs.
If
it's a brand shoot, then I bring, you know, a handler and an assistant with me.
Right.
So because you're going to need safety first in whatever you're doing. I never put a dog in a situation where you're just going for the shot and a dog's uncomfortable about
something. Right. Right.
Most of the photos that I take, she was running free, but most of them you can't see. People are always like, my dog won't stand still, or where did you get that? A lot of them do have a human and a leash that I have done the magic of Photoshop and removed.
Okay.
So that's often, but you want them to stand properly so that you can easily remove them. You know, you need them to sort of stand aside. You don't want the leash pulled so that the collar is pulling. It has to look natural when you remove it.
Right.
And then I often will just do it myself with the squeaker. Or if say I have two people, I'll have the person behind me.
Yes.
You know, so sometimes the owners are more difficult to wrangle because no matter how much I tell them, they're calling their dog.
Yeah.
Off to the side.
Right.
You know, and again, like I said, I will give a lot of breaks. Mm-hmm. You know, and if it is a dog and I'm in a safe place that can go without a leash, that's good. Sometimes dogs, I'll put them on a leash, even if, because I can't control them.
Yeah.
Them to be in the spot that I want to be. And I actually use a very thin leash. Uh-huh. I bring my own leashes and, to, you know, the chute. So it's an easier leash for me to remove.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, great. Well, this has been so much fun talking with Mindy Ducat, and she is a professional dog photographer that works with different pet brands and has a wonderful model of supporting the rescues, brands supporting the rescues and great photography. So give us your website one more time.
Dogsimeet.com.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Mindy. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah. And we'll see you on the next show. Thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services. You can reach Michael Overly, author of Let Your Dog Lead, Musings on How to Create an Exceptional Life, on his website at dogsandmen.com or email michael@dogsandmen.com.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.